have your Bibles, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse number 10. I do want to say it's so good to see Sister Hugh tonight. She don't get to come to church but about once every 3 months because of her work schedule. And she told me tonight, she said, I look so forward to being able to go to church and be in the house of God. You can tell she loves the Lord. So good to see Sister Armin tonight, isn't it? God bless her. Amen. Love you, Sister Armin. Praying with you and for you. God is with us. God is with us. Man, you're a guest here tonight. We're glad that you've come. Our friend from Okeechobee, Brother Warren's church, working here in the area. And so while he was here, he decided he'd come to the house of the Lord. So we are thankful for that. And all of you that have come out on this beautiful evening. Beautiful, rainy evening. I appreciate your sacrifice, and we certainly pray the blessings of the Lord upon you. God keep you safe going home. So we'll try not to go too long tonight, and we're just going to barely open up a subject, and I felt like the Lord wanted us to step back into and continue on spiritual warfare. And we have learned, we've learned a lot of wonderful things about what is not spiritual warfare, what we may have thought was spiritual warfare. And we'll probably do just a tad bit of review, not much. And then we're just going to kind of just barely peel back the envelope here tonight as we begin a journey as a church into spiritual warfare. Because we need to know our enemy. We need to be focused on who is our enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not my enemy. You are not my enemy. Saw a couple of husbands having a tough time saying that to their wives. Vice versa. All righty. And the church gets focused in spiritual warfare. That's when you're going to begin to see an increase of people being born into the kingdom of God. Because we touched on that. And I want to tell you, everything about God is focused on people being born into his kingdom. And spiritual warfare is focused on that. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. For we wrestle, as I would pronounce it, and I think y'all pronounce it differently, but it's spelled wrestle. Y'all think it's spelled wrestle, or what? But that's how we pronounce wrestle in Louisiana. My daughter, I tell you about that little booklet my daughter made me for my birthday. Y'all helped her make, oh, thank you, Sister Bishop. Sister Maynard, see, that's all right. You get that. When you're mean, I call you Sister Bishop. When you're nice, I call you Sister Maynard. And she put together all these words on my own personal dictionary. And so she's got to add one to it called swaller. And I said, can I have a swaller of that? She said, what? A swaller. A swallow? You want a swallow of my drink? I said, no, I want a swaller. All right. Where were we? Oh, we were wrestling. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness in this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I want to tell you, we don't only wrestle against them, we win, because we are the church. And because, Paul said, because you do this, and we're not going to be focusing in this area, but wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everybody say, the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. And by the help of the Holy Ghost here today, we are going to be speaking on that in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to bring up a second portion here. Give me just a second. Lord bless you. Greet one or two people around you in Jesus' name. Tell them it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, I've delayed enough. You can be seated. I had to get my right message. I've prepared two or three, and I just realized, even though they're all on spiritual warfare and we're going to go in order, I had opened up the wrong one. But the right scripture. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. We, as the human race, are in spiritual warfare. When a pastor was teaching and preaching on this subject, and then we were really focusing in on what is not spiritual warfare. And we dwelt a lot on about how that the word of the Lord says that evil thoughts and evil deeds and ungodliness and these perverted actions by men with one another or against women in some immoral way, these actions that sometimes you and I will read about in a newspaper, and we'll ask ourselves the question, how could anyone ever bring themselves to do something so evil? I mean, it just, as a child of God, even understanding your own weakness and your the evil that abides even with you that we battle with. It's just hard to wrap our minds around how some men and women could do some of these things that are just so evil and demonic and devilish, and as we title them and brand them. But then when we get into the Word of God, we find out that the Bible says that these acts and deeds and thoughts that they don't come from without and go in, but they come from within and they go out. And we learn that a lot of things that we used to walk around and battle and fight and struggle with, and we called it spiritual warfare. I was in the battle with the devil all day today. And we learn that, oh, there may be a few exceptions, but the majority of the time, really, you were just in battle with yourself. Your own lust and desires and wants and greed and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and everything else that goes with it, that's all bottled up on the inside, and you battle it in your mind, and you battle it in your flesh, and you battle it in your actions. And oh, I've been battling the devil all day. No, you just been battling yourself. And when we learned, when we got that revelation and we got that understanding that it was not some outside force that was making me think these things or do these things, but it was this old boy that had these things in him. When we got that revelation, then we got a hold of it, and we got control of it, and we conquered it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then some of us, we woke up, and I've said this a few times, but it is so true because I felt it myself. When you finally got a hold of that revelation, first of all, it lost its power in your life. It's like it just disappeared and died, and you woke up and you went, where is the devil? Because what I thought was the devil all day, every day of my life, I found out it was just this so stinking flesh that I needed to learn how to crucify and bring it down and get it under control and submit it to the power of God. Submit your mind to God, the Bible says. Bring your imaginations unto the captivity of Christ, the word of the Lord says. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you still walking in victory with that? I praise God every day for that revelation. I'm walking in victory. I'm telling you, there's nothing like being set free. There's nothing like being loose. There's nothing like having knowledge, spiritual, correct, biblical knowledge that gives you power over sin in your life. We talked about that and preached on it and brought it under control. However, it's important that we understand that there is spiritual warfare and that the church needs to be right in the middle of it, and that you and I are called by the Word of God to be soldiers in His army. Because He tells me and you to put on the whole armor of God. That means I'm a soldier. And He doesn't tell me to put on the armor of God to look good. He tells me to put on the armor of God because He expects me to get up every day and go to war. But now that I'm done fighting and beating the air, you know, Paul the apostle, he started out in this verse. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm glad I've got that revelation. But he didn't stop there. He said, but there is principalities, and there is powers, and there is rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when the church begins to focus in on the true enemy of this world, we're going to see chains broken. We're going to see power.
powers of the devil ripped back. You're going to see your family loose of curses and heritage, of demons and power and sickness and bondage and addiction. It's going to be ripped off and ripped away. Why? Because now I'm fighting the real enemy. Now I've gotten focused.
So the human race is in spiritual warfare. We have been in spiritual warfare since the day that Adam and Eve yielded to that temptation. And Adam, being rebellious, the Bible says, and Eve being deceived, both of them will bring condemnation and bondage and blindness into your life. And so since that time, the human race has been in a battle. I looked up just a few statistics. Some of these are all the way back to 2013, and some of them are current. But if the numbers aren't perfect, they're close. In other words, you're probably worse than what I'm about to read you. But approximately, listen, one third of the entire United States of America, 110 million people, have some type of a sexual transmitted disease. One third of America. And I don't know what it is in the rest of the world. It's spiritual warfare. Do you realize that if the entire world obeyed the word of God, that in one generation, sexual transmitted diseases would no longer exist on the planet? In one single generation, if the world just obeyed the word of God by doing what? Not having sex before marriage. And when you get married, you stay with the same partner until death do you depart. That's all it takes. You do that, sexual transmitted diseases of every kind, whether it's AIDS, I don't even know what they all are, but whatever it is, it's just going to die. From doing what? From doing nothing but living righteous. You want to know the most powerful weapon that you and I have against the devil? It's living righteous. If the world would just begin to live righteous, we would defeat every strategy, every attack, every deception from the adversary would be destroyed by just living righteous. Oh, come on, let's give God a praise. Let's give the Lord praise. Look what he's done for us. Look what he has done for us. He spared your children sexual diseases. He has spared us and us, our marriages, our children, and all of those that get in the house of God. He spared us from these things of the world. He spared us from the things of the world. But I say we're in spiritual warfare. Every single year, there are 20 million new sexual transmitted diseases in America. The United States has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the entire industrialized world. According to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, there are 750,000 registered sexual offenders in America alone. Somebody say we're in spiritual war. An astounding 30% of all of the internet traffic today goes to adult or pornography sites. In the United States of America alone today, more than half of all the couples will live together before they get married. Somebody say, we're in spiritual war.
women under the age of 30 in the United States, for more than half of all of the babies are being born out of wedlock. Say, we're in spiritual war. In the number of American babies killed by abortions each year, it roughly equals the number of every death that has ever occurred with every military action by the United States of America in its history combined. And we kill that many people every year in the womb. Somebody say, we're in spiritual war. The definition of marriage has already been changed. In America today, there are 60 million people that abuse alcohol, and there are 22 million people that use illegal drugs. 23% of all American adults have no religious affiliation whatsoever. Compare that to only 7% in 1972. 22 million crimes were created or done in the year 2014. Immoral laws are being forced upon us in our court systems every day. Removing God out of our schools, removing God out of our government, and trying to remove God even out of our churches. Somebody shout, we're in spiritual war. But if the church will awake, and if we will put on the whole armor of God, and if we will march like the army that God has called us to march. Now listen to your pastor. When we do that, we're not going to reverse these things. You're fooling yourself if you think that's what's going to happen. This world is going to go further and further and further away from God. Every day you get up, you live in an toward generation. It's getting blacker and darker and further and more immoral and more ungodly. However, when the church arises and begins the battle against the devil and spiritual warfare, we can reach into his kingdom, and one by one we can pluck them out of the fire. One by one we can get them out of the bondage that they are in. Oh, worship your King. Worship your King for a moment. Hallelujah. We can do it. What we're going to find as we study the Word of God and as we get into the Word, spiritual warfare will always surround a soul. It'll always be about an eternal soul. You know why? Because God doesn't care about anything else. Think about it. There is nothing else in this universe that God cares about but your soul. He even said in his own word, every star in the heavens, there's 400 billion of them in our galaxy. There's 400 billion galaxies in our known universe. I don't know how many quadrillion, quintrillion galaxies and stars that is, but this I know, the Bible says the day's going to come, they're all going to wax old and they're all going to die, but your soul is going to live forever. Jesus Christ did not die upon that cross to preserve the rainforest. He didn't die on the cross to improve life on this earth. He shed his blood for the remission of my sins and your sins, that our souls might be redeemed. He went to war with the devil. And then he said, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. Why? That you might be a witness. Why? Because the only thing that matters to him is a soul. Every resource in heaven, every focused battle, every war, every battle, everything going on in heaven concerning spiritual warfare is about souls.
reason why we lose so many battles is because we fight for the wrong things. We try to exercise God's power and God's anointing and God's authority and all of this to improve our life, to make life here on earth a little better, to move mountains that have nothing to do with an eternal soul, to change things that have nothing to do with an eternal soul. And I'm not saying that God won't move and touch things. It's like Pastor Sapp said a little earlier about all I need is him. But he came back and said, but it's okay to ask. We all know we have needs, right? But he was trying to get us to understand something. You can ask for other things, but that's not what really matters. What really matters is that you have him. You got a lost cousin, and they got a need in their life. Instead of praying, oh, God, give them a car. Oh, God, bless them with their rent. Why don't you say, oh, God, save their soul. Because you get them in the kingdom, darling, God will take care of everything else. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he said, I'll add all of these other things unto you. I guess what I'm trying to say is that if we'll sharpen our sword up a little bit, and if we'll take up our weapons, and if we'll start focusing them where God truly wants us to use them, we'll begin to see a greater result than you can ever imagine. Greater power than you can ever dream. More results than you can ever fathom in your mind. Whew, my Lord, have mercy. All right. Trying to peel back the first layer here. Wrestle against our flesh and blood. Blame the devil for things that are just in our flesh. But now we're learning to focus. We're going to learn what spiritual warfare is. And you're going to see blinded eyes opened. Because your goal, everything God did on this earth, he did for a soul. You know what Elijah said? Elijah, the prophet, actually it was quoted in the New Testament. I can't remember who said it now. Y'all remember, y'all the Bible scholars. I got to study this stuff every day. But the word of the Lord says, do you think Naaman was the only leopard in the days of the prophet Elijah? No. There were hundreds of thousands of leopards. So why didn't God heal all the leopards? Because God just don't heal people. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a focus. And everything has a reason. And it'll always bring him glory. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to try to help us just a little bit here on miracles. We have got to stop laying hands on people to be healed. So that they can see how powerful our God is. Or so that others can see that he's a miracle God. Or if we're going to be really honest about this, so they can see how close I am to God. I'm the one laying on the hands, right? Woo, yeah, baby. Open up these eyes so everybody can see how close me and you are, Jesus. Come on, good Lord. That person going to walk away blind. But if we'll start focusing our prayers on, oh God, in this man is an eternal soul, and he's got to be saved. God, if the healing of his eyes will give him that opportunity, then Lord, I speak, open up his eyes and let him see. I love what that man had to say after they asked him two or three times, who did this and why and how? Finally, he said, whether he's a sinner, I don't know. All I know is once I was blind, but now I see. And that man called Jesus is the one that did it for me. God's power, his gifts, his target, everything is about the soul. That's why I believe that we would see many more miracles and divine outpourings of God if we would start praying for sinners and stop praying for ourselves. Some of us going through something because God's allowing you to go through that. You've been praying to get closer to Him. God said, oh, I can help you with that. I know just how to put you on your knees. I know just how to get you praying and being in a relationship with me. This is taking up your time. I'll take that from you. This is taking up your time. I'll take that from you. And then we start screaming and hollering. And we start running down the aisles. I'm about to lose this. And I'm about to lose that. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I've been praying like I've never prayed before. Hello. And you want us to reverse all of that. You want us to lay hands on you and say, oh, God, reverse everything you did for her. Put her back in bondage. God, put her back in carnality by returning these things to you. The reason why we don't see a whole lot going on in the spirit realm is because we're always working on one another. We're like a bunch of skin doctors cutting off one another's moles. While everybody else is out there dying of cancer. Huh? Everybody else is dying of skin cancer, and we're cutting off one another's moles here inside house of God. Ain't nothing wrong with you. You're full of the Holy Ghost, living for God. God's providing everything for you. You're going to eat tomorrow. You're going to take care. If your car blows up, He'll find you a bus. Ain't one of us in here God's not going to take care of. We're going to be just fine. But there's souls out there that are blinded and they're undone. They don't know where to go, how to get there, who to seek, or what to do. I am here to tell you it is time that we quit sparring one another in our altars and sparring with one another up and down our aisles and just moving the power of God up in and amongst us. If we're going to see a glorious outpouring of the Holy Ghost, we got to take this thing outside those doors and quit being intimidated. Put on the whole armor of God, and when God leads you to someone, know that God is about to do a miracle. He is about to do something incredible. Why? Because He's reaching for a soul. And that's the whole purpose of every gift. That's the whole purpose of every power and anointing of God. It's to reach for the eternal. I'm telling you, if we'll bring this out there and do what God has called us to do, we will see incredible things. Because it's about souls. Somebody say, we are in spiritual warfare. Satan has wrapped his tentacles around the hearts and the minds of men. Now my mind's covered with the blood. If I have a dirty thought, it's because it's in me. Satan don't have the power to put nothing in me. He can't control me. If you want to believe that, that's your business. If you want to walk around giving an open door to God, to Satan, into your mind and your heart, then I pity you because he'll torment you every day of your life. But I've come to the revelation. I look at him and I say, I used to think that was you, devil, but I don't give you no more credit for that anymore. Because you can't get in here and you can't get in here. God lives in here and he's the only one with the key. But the world is unprotected. And the world doesn't have the breastplate of righteousness. They're not wearing the helmet of salvation. Men are going insane, blowing their brains out. Things are turning upside down and topsy-turvy in this world that we live in. Because Satan, with his deception and his blindness, has wrapped his tentacles around the hearts of men. But I'm here to tell you there's a sword on our side, that it doesn't matter how dense the jungle of sin is, you can walk right in the middle of it and cut away every vine with the power of the Word of God. Don't you understand? This is why it's so important. We start getting involved in spiritual warfare. We are their only hope. We are their only hope. We come to the house of God and talk to one another. Oh, yeah. You know, we are so ordained to war that if you don't go to war with the devil, you will fight one another. Because you are called to war. And that's what's happening. We end up fighting one another. Well, we're geared up for it, right? We got the helmet. We got the breastplate. We got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We're wearing the girdle, the loin of truth, and all of these wonderful things that are all wrapped about us. It becomes annoying after a while, walking around in armor all day, not doing anything. So we just start bumping up against one another. We just want to hear it clang a little bit. Come on, lazy. Don't hurt me. We just want to hear it clang. Cling. Cling. You don't have a sword. I wasn't going to stab him. Yeah, we come to the house of God and we just end up fighting with one another because we're dressed for war. You know, when a football player puts on his football uniform, he gets aggressive. He wants to hit somebody. You don't dress up in a football uniform unless you want to hit somebody. Huh? You put on a basketball uniform, you want basketball, right? You want to bounce the ball. You put on a whatever kind of uniforms other people put on you, whatever that sport is, you want to get in there, you want to get. Well, we came into the house of God. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We slipped into the armor of God, and that natural aggression gets a hold of us. And at first, you can see it working. You witness to every neighbor. You witness to every friend. You witness to every family member what's going on. You put on the armor of God. You're going to war. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're called to be a witness. It's a natural response. It's built into you. But after a while, you kind of get tired. You put the sword up and you quit fighting. And then next thing you know, you're fighting one another. Why? If we were busy fighting the adversary, we would not have time to fight one another. Well, I don't want to get on all of that. I'll end up pastoring. Wouldn't want to do that. I got to get off page one. The apostle, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That doesn't mean that he's not saying that we're not going to face persecution. And it doesn't mean that he's not saying that men are not going to come against you. They will. Jesus said, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. They crucified me, they're going to kill you. They're going to come against you. And this is going to be physical men that are coming against the church. They're doing it now all around the world. And here in America, not so much physically, but most certainly with law and all of these things. So we know that we're going to battle man. But our focus is not that man. Because no matter how evil they may appear, no matter what they're doing, they are being driven by an evil force. And the church, the religious world has got caught up in trying to fight government. And, you know, find me one place in the Word of God, one place in the Word of God, and old or new, but especially in the new, where they got together and formed a group to come against government. Now, they lived in the most barbaric times you'll ever know. The Jews were under the Roman Empire's government. And they thought Jesus was coming to deliver them out from under an oppressive government. 100 times more oppressive than our government. But Jesus didn't come to deliver them from the oppressive government. He come to deliver them from an oppressive demon, a power that would put them into an eternal hell. And it is a deception from hell for the church to use up their energies to fight against the government. Our job is to reach for the lost. Listen, you want a godly government? It's simple. Pray everybody through in the United States of America and you'll have a godly government. But the answer is what? Spiritual warfare. Going into their lives and binding demons and spirits that has confused them and has wrapped itself about them and entangled itself in their lives, in their mind, and in some cases has even possessed them. But we can walk in there with our armor and our sword and our weapons, and it doesn't matter which demon it is. It can be the demon of Persia, or the demon of whatever spirit, any principality or power, a prince that might be up there. The Holy Ghost is the same in every one of us. And when we walk in there, we walk in with power and we walk in with authority. It is the job of the church. You want a godly government in West Palm Beach? Pray the council through. Pray the elected men and women through. Get a hold of the government. Get them in an altar. Pray them through to the Holy Ghost. Get them baptized in Jesus' name and you'll have a godly government. It's the only answer. Church was never designed to fight government. Jesus didn't deliver them from the Roman oppression. He said, go have revival. Go pray people through. Then he used the oppression of the government to do what? Spread them out. Bring revival to the world. And you see, Paul the apostle, he doesn't get some group together and say, come on. Let's go fight against gay marriage. 76% of America was against gay marriage when the Supreme Court voted it in. Your vote, your opinion means nothing in this government. But the power that's inside of you can change the lives of men forever. That's why your pastor don't get caught up in all this junk. I get phone calls all the time. It's not my job to do those things. My job is to pastor this church and to turn us into warriors for the kingdom of God. Now, I would say this. I wish every one of you would go take government classes and run for offices. That wouldn't bother me at all. I'd vote for you. I wouldn't mind if every one of you got a government official job. That's how you take over the government. Dear Lord, I got to be careful. They're probably censoring this mic right now. Preacher's in there talking about a coup. In the U.S., the Roman Empire was powerful. Paul the Apostle never got a group together. When he came before kings, rulers, and governments, he didn't talk about the bad laws they were passing. He didn't talk about how ungodly they were ruling their government and how dare you allow this to take place and that to take place and abortions and drinking and how dare you. No, he said, I want to tell you about a man, because he knew the only hope was for that governor, that king, that prince to be introduced to Jesus Christ. That was the only hope. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. I got to wrap this up. I got a little bit off target tonight. I'm sorry about that. We're in a spiritual warfare. The Bible says it's against rulers of darkness. I'm closing. Rulers of darkness of this world. rulers that preside over regions and areas when you look into the word of the Lord, and we'll get into that later. Darkness that, or the Bible uses darkness as an emblem to represent ignorance and the bondage of sin, misery, deception. This empire of Satan is, there's not a corner of the world that it's not in. Satan has covered the globe much better than we have with the gospel. And Jesus said, though my church is going to wake up, he said, I'm going to have a church. And he said, this gospel is going to be preached in every corner of the world. Every corner of the world. Everywhere's on this globe, this gospel is going to be preached. And he said, when that happens, I'm coming back. When everybody's had the opportunity, I'll be back. And I'm going to take my church out of this world. And he said, that's when the world's going to really see darkness. Because he that letteth right now, that's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in this world. We preached about that a while back. There's a lot of things that are being held back right now because of the power of God, because of me and you, the church that is in the world. It'll blow your mind, the things that are being held back right here in this county because the apostolic church exists in West Palm Beach. And every day we pray against the power of the devil, and we pray against the power of darkness and the principality of darkness of the air. We pray against it by the name of Jesus Christ, and we are holding back all that he would wish and want to do. Spiritual warfare. In Jesus' name. Let's stand. No empire has extended itself like the empire of darkness. Yet Paul the Apostle says that it is upon this kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, that God declares war. And he declares every single one of us to be soldiers of this war. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. God's armor isn't meant to be something that we hide in a corner and just let ourselves be attacked and say, well, as long as I can hide behind this shield. No, his armor was never designed for retreat. There's nothing covering your back in the armor of God. It was never intended in God's army for anyone to turn and flee from the enemy. God's armor is designed to go forward at all times and at all cost. There's a lot of people in this city. A lot of people. I have pastors call me. Had one call me down from down south, and he said, brother, I know you have a Spanish church there in West Palm Beach. He said, I've got a few families there, and we'd like to start a church in West Palm. And another Spanish church said, would you mind? I said, well, I've almost reached all 600,000 Spanish-speaking people. I don't know if there's room for another one. I wish there was 100 United Pentecostal churches in this city. I wish there were so many churches in this city we were all forced to be community churches. In other words, you just reach your little community because there's a church in every community in West Palm Beach. Wouldn't that be awesome? Now, I was reading an article. Some family moved to Utah. I'm done. I know you're standing. I'm sorry. Some family moved to Utah, and there's an article about living, and it's named the city, but where 9 out of 10 people are Mormons. And they were, you know, they were non-Mormons. And they were talking about every function in the city, everything done, everything, government, and everything was connected to the religion. Everything. There's nothing, nowhere you could go, nothing you could do, nothing you could touch, and everything was connected. Wouldn't that be awesome if West Palm Beach was so full of apostolics that everything was connected to Jesus Christ? That'd be so incredible. You'd walk into the courtroom and say, "Hey, brother," so the judge, you know, "Hey, brother John, what's up? What's up, brother John? They got you speeding again, didn't they, Sat?" "Yeah, brother John, I was doing 72 and 35. I'm sorry, I've only been living for the Lord for 40 years. I'm working on that one." "Well, you gonna let me off, brother John?" "No, the Bible says you should pay the fullness of the price if you do it on purpose." That'd be all right. I'd be so happy everybody knows Jesus, I'd just pay the fine. I'd probably drive it within the, yeah, okay, well, anyway. Amen. All right, so we're going to go on this journey together, okay? So your job between now and Sunday is to pray and seek the face of God about spiritual warfare. Go into the Word of God and start studying it. Let it get in your heart, in your mind, and how can I become a part of it? Pray for Pastor as we get into this word, that God will lead this church how he wants to lead us concerning spiritual warfare. Nuggets that he wants to give Pastor that he can share with this congregation, and others that will come through that he will send teachings that we can have, that we can become that church, that assembly that Satan fears every time the sun comes up on Palm Beach. I want Satan to say another day of torment. I want him to say, "I wish hell would come. I'm being so tormented." It's what he said to Jesus. "Why hast thou come before my time and have tormented me?" I want him to get up and say, "Oh, I am so tormented. In West Palm, I'm so tormented. I'm losing my people every day. They're being broken away from my bondage and blindness. And why is it?" I'll tell you why it is. We stop sharpening our own swords and shining our own shields and buffing up everybody here in the house of God. And we have gone out into the muddy battlefield, which where we have been ordained to be. And we have gone to war to reach the only thing that matters to God. And that's so. And that's the reason why he will bear his arm and you will see more miracles and more glory and more power, and you will feel more anointing, and you will see more things happen in your life than you will ever see when you begin to reach for souls everywhere that you go. And you'll also go into more battles than you've ever been in. And you'll be hated more than you've ever been hated and all. But you know what? What does that matter? What does that matter? The only thing that matters is that I am in the will of God, doing the will of God. Father, Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. And God, I just pray that you touch every one of us in this building. Lord, the cream of the crop, God, is here, your precious church. And Lord, I believe that you're wanting to speak to us. God, I need revelation. Lord, I need revelation. This church needs revelation. We need to understand spiritual warfare. God, I refuse to be blinded. I refuse to be deceived, God. Lord, let your light, let your illumination come upon our minds and upon our hearts. God, illuminate this subject to us that we can become effective in the kingdom of God. Lord, that we can become destructive in the kingdom of Satan. Send us forth as mighty warriors of the kingdom. Touch us and use us for your glory. Help us to reach for the lost. Make us wise as serpents and as harmless as doves, God, to go out and to touch and to reach the lost. We ask it in the mighty, wonderful, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody say amen. Amen, 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 amen. God bless you. I love you. Everybody say the world is in spiritual warfare. We're their soldiers. We need to go to battle. God bless you. I love you. You're dismissed. We have to tear down tonight, so give me just a few muscles.
And can I say this? There's a special young man here with us tonight. He is loved of God. He is a man after God's own heart. Today is his birthday. Would you sing with me? Happy birthday to you. I know you're wondering who I'm talking about. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Brother Powell. Ooh. Happy birthday to you. Come on, give him some love.